Lashana Tova Tikitevu. May you be inscribed for good year, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with our bubbly teacher of eschatology, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
Well, thank you, my love, and Lashana Tova Umetuka, meaning also to have a good and sweet year. As we wish you all a happy new year and shalom aleichem to you as well. By the way, that means a traditional Jewish greeting, meaning peace be upon you.
Yeah, and the response would be aleichem shalom.
Meaning upon you be peace as well. It is also the title of a poem sung before the Friday night Shabbat meal to welcome good angels into their home. You can easily find it on YouTube if you'd like to hear it. It's a fun song, and kids love it. Let's bow our heads.
Dear Lord, our hope is in you alone, and our blessed faith carries us through the good times and the hard times. We thank you for the many worldwide revivals going on, even in Iran, and will continue to anxiously await your call to arise and meet you in the air. We continue to pray protection over Israel's soldiers, the release of the hostages, and an end to the war in Ukraine. Please tug at the hearts of our lost loved ones. Now more than ever, we praise and adore you. In Yeshua's name, amen.
And amen.
And yes, you know, multitudes are getting saved.
Oh, I know, that's true. And not just the youth, but Muslims too. It's being reported on alternative news that hundreds are seeing visions and intense salvation-type dreams of Yeshua, just like Joel chapter 2 said would happen in the last days.
And it's now Rosh Hashanah till sundown tomorrow.
Yes, so our Lord could still call us home. But if not this year, we will occupy and anxiously await till next year.
With an even greater expectation.
Because next year will be quite the year as we watch many, many more souls come to Christ.
And that's a good thing.
It is. For God is turning the tragedy of Charlie's death into a victory of salvations. And as well, there are many testimonies, as we just said, of Iranians, and not just Islam, other religious sects too, from many countries, some never hearing the gospel at all, and they're having multiple dreams and visions.
Yeah, you know, God is very merciful and wants no one to perish.
Oh, he really doesn't. And to kick off the new year, Israel, for the first time, besides the yearly 100 singular blasts in the synagogues on both days of Rosh Hashanah, tomorrow is a special day, for at the base of the Temple Mount at the Wailing Wall, prior to sundown for the Nilah, 100 of Israel's priests are blowing long blasts of shofars all at the same time, simultaneously.
Never before since it became a nation in 1948.
What a sound that will be.
Mm-hmm.
And it will be live streamed. They have had a few single shofar blowers, but never to hear 100 all at the same time.
It's an historic shofar ceremony.
Not only will these shofar oat, which is really the proper plural name, usher in their new year, it also leads into the days of awe as a reminder and a warning as to how important repentance and reflection is. And by next year, we will see the Gaza war end and also the war in Ukraine. And then they will say peace and safety. And we're out of here. And remember, according to the Essene calendar, the real Jubilee begins next year.
Of course, we are still hoping for tonight or tomorrow.
You betcha. And in that case, we'll just meet you all in the air.
So, how's Israel doing?
Well, they hit Yemen again in another retaliation. As well, they took out more Hezbollah's leader in southern Lebanon. And the battle in Gaza City has been heightened even more. And the IDF has uncovered more tunnels inside civilian buildings that they destroyed.
Yeah, you know, it's about 120 buildings.
Yeah, and by the way, Gaza has always been a place of turmoil. Remember the Philistines once inhabited Gaza, and Goliath and his six brothers were from there? And like other parts of the Holy Land, Gaza's history stretches back to ancient times. It was originally a Canaanite settlement, ruled later by the Israelites, Egyptians, Romans, Ottomans, among others.
Yeah, the British seized the territory during World War I.
And Gaza's boundaries were established in a 1949 armistice agreement between Egypt and Israel, halting the conflict after the creation of the State of Israel in 1948. During the Arab-Israeli War of that period, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians fled, many to Gaza, and they and their descendants have been classified as refugees by the United Nations still today. Egypt occupied Gaza until the Arab-Israeli War of 1967, when Israel seized the territory. The first Gaza-Israel fence went up in 1994 as a way to control Palestinian movement after the Oslo Accords.
Yeah, I remember the agreement aimed at ending the conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians.
For a while. But eventually, to allow the Palestinians, they wanted to run their own state. So, Prime Minister Ariel Sharon forced the Jews out of their homes in Gaza in 2005 and removed the IDF to just the borders, except the southern border to be patrolled by Egypt, who, by the way, allowed weapons to pour into the hands of Hamas, and soon many rockets flew into Israel over the years, well, until October 7th.
You know, and Egypt still controls the southern crossing known as Rafah.
Yep. Israel, though, controls the air and sea tactics. But most Gaza-bound food, fuel, and other aid flows through Israeli-controlled crossings, meticulously inspected, except for the UN, which is still allowed to send in aid, which often is stolen by Hamas.
And sold at high prices to the people.
And weapons as well have been smuggled in by those UN aid trucks and also through the Rafah Gate, mostly in underground tunnels.
And Egypt is aware.
Oh, yeah. And still will not allow the civilians in to seek protection. But Zephaniah 2 makes it plain that in the end days, Gaza will not harbor inhabitants, which is just another idiom meaning earth dwellers or the unrighteous. Rather, it will be for pastures and shelters for shepherds and the coast for the house of Judah to feed their flocks.
Good times are coming when Jesus will be king.
Amen.
Any problems in Ramallah?
Yes, the IDF captured a rocket-making terror cell, which proves that Mahmoud Abbas's PLO is also attacking, as in the West Bank. And of course, we call that Judea and Samaria. Meanwhile, as you know, the UN began its yearly and 80th assembly on September 9th. And last week, 142 out of 193 nations openly declared their recognition for Palestinian statehood. And then several other countries, as in France, Australia, Belgium, Portugal, formally announced their individual recognition over the weekend.
Yeah, making it approximately 150 countries.
Yeah, and soon after President Trump left the UK, after talking with Prime Minister Starmer, as well, joined the cabal of nations that ultimately want to push Israel back to its pre-1967 lines before Israel won the war. And don't forget about the sanctions already imposed on some Israeli leaders.
While also suspending trade talks with Israel and limited military exports.
Yep. But this Palestinian statehood is just nonsense and a non-starter.
So why bother?
Oh, because it's purely political for votes, because too many lefties are anti-Semitic Israeli haters.
So the leaders, they're just buying votes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. They know nothing can make this happen unless Israel agrees. And that would take a new government, which might happen someday. But besides gaining their votes, at the same time, they are rewarding Hamas for October 7th and giving them reason to keep fighting and holding on to the hostages. Anyhow, today, still in New York, began the more high-level UN assembly, and President Trump spoke today about his accomplishments in the world order, but we'll talk more about that next week.
Prime Minister Netanyahu speaks this Saturday.
Oh, but before that, on Thursday, a boss of the PLO will speak.
I thought Trump ruled not to give him a visa.
That is correct. So, the UN voted to allow a boss to speak by video. And then, after all that, Bibi will visit the White House next Monday, the 29th, which marks the fourth personal meeting this year.
Yeah, we'll have a lot to say next week.
If we are still here.
Touche. So, Qatar is still saying Israel should be punished for bombing them.
Well, they were punished on October 7th. By the way, Qatar funded that. So, should they apologize when it wasn't even successful? They only killed a lower-level Hamas terrorist and one civilian, which, yes, that was a mistake.
But, you know, all that is still unclear.
Right. Last week, Secretary of State Rubio thankfully never criticized Israel while he was in Israel. However, he did openly praise Qatar. Hopefully, he was tough behind closed doors.
Yeah, well, you know, Qatar is playing a double game.
Oh, for sure. They are giving sanctuary to Hamas leaders and their underlings. And yet we allow them to be the mediators in a peace settlement? What's wrong with this picture?
That's why it purposely never bears fruit.
And honestly, Israel is doing the work for the whole world. And Qatar funds the Middle East news and TV stations, such as Al Jazeera, who provides a platform for extremists, proving their loyalty goes to anti-Israel nations.
Big time.
The deck is stacked against Israel, and anti-Semitism is right now, more than ever, flourishing. Qatar makes friends with countries who are sworn enemies of each other.
They're both predator and host.
And still keeps close ties with Iran while housing our U.S. Air Force base that Iran, after we bombed its nuclear sites, attacked, thankfully without much success. But still, Qatar's reputation for neutrality is a facade, and it's high time for nations, the U.S. included, to stand up and openly recognize that Qatar is a state sponsor for terrorism.
And give back that plane that we should never have accepted.
Totally. Did you know that even Israel allows paid lobbyists from Qatar into Israel, giving them access to government officials?
Yeah, just to appease them.
We need to apply real pressure on Qatar to expel all Hamas. We could also threaten to move our airbase to, say, IAEA or Bahrain, who already house our Navy's Fifth Fleet. Oh, and by the way, Iran has been testing its new ballistic intercontinental long-range missiles to be a show-off.
While their people have no water or electricity.
Yeah. As well, they have suspended the IAEA's inspections of their nuclear facilities. However, it is well known that Israel's Mossad has more intelligence never used yet.
So, more, perhaps stronger, spying abilities.
Oh, and the IDF took out two more Hezbollah leaders and a weapons depot in southern Lebanon. The Lebanon government say they are still trying hard to remove all of them from their southern border with Israel, as was the plan for a ceasefire weeks ago.
But some good news. Israel's iron laser beam is ready to be used.
Meaning, hitting and burning through with accurate precision any aircraft, especially drones, with a directed beam of light energy to be used in conjunction with Israel's Iron Dome.
And the beam of light is much cheaper to utilize.
Yep, just the cost of electricity. And they also have the Arbel, which is an anti-drone system that attaches to their rifles and pinpoints drones while in motion. It's just amazing technology. Which is why I think when the Gaza war is over, nations will want to make nice just to buy this kind of weaponry.
But only if you are a friend to Israel.
Well, I would hope so.
Okay, you can send your end time questions by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Or by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will add you to our newsletter mailing list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where you can access any of our past programs, letters, and added teachings.
Okay, so let us begin by reminding you how God organized detailed requirements for his first chosen Hebrew people with certain definite customs using particular phrases that Jesus, who was Jewish, would use to give also to us these huge clues. So to learn how it will be in the last days. And we've covered a lot so far this fall harvest season. Rosh Hashanah leading to the days of awe, which is Yami Noraim in Hebrew, which then leads to days of repentance and reflection on Yom Kippur, or Day of Atonement. And if you are not right with God by sundown, your fate is sealed.
Which parallels with Yeshua's second coming.
Called typology. Yom Kippur also has the idioms of face-to-face that Paul uses and therefore gives a great confirmation of Yeshua's second coming at the end of the tribulation on a Yom Kippur in 1 Corinthians 13:13.
And Jesus implies his return at the sound of the great shofar in Matthew 24:31.
Yes, giving us yet another clue that we detailed last week. It also is called the fast. For those 13 and older are required, unless ill or pregnant, to fast from sundown to sundown. And this is afflicting their souls by practicing self-denial to instead focus on their spiritual self-improvement. And many wear white as a symbol of purity.
But, you know, that's not required. As in Leviticus 23.
Nor is the age of 13. Rather, just adults who are 20 and older, which is also the age of accountability. You can find that in Scripture, Exodus 38, Leviticus 27, Numbers 1, and other places.
Anyhow, you know, fasting is good for all adults.
Interesting. They do 25 hours, just to be sure.
Another add-on.
Yes, I just do the 24, and not because we have to, for we are not under the law. Praise Jesus. But rather as a sweet offering to the Lord to praise and worship him. Maybe use your prayer language, but never ask for anything.
Just love on him.
So, from sundown to sundown, Tishri 9 and 10, no eating, drinking, or working, according to Leviticus 23. But as I said, they do add some things, like an extra hour of fasting, no wearing of leather.
Because it was once a luxury.
No bathing or shaving.
Or anointing themselves with oils or lotions.
And no sexual relations. Instead, go to synagogue and give to the poor, call the tzedakah. There are other things some families like to also add, as in visiting the cemetery and lighting candles. All in all, it's just a very special time before the great sound of the trumpet at the close of Yom Kippur, called the Nilah, when the gates are closed.
And last week we explained about the 1973 Yom Kippur War.
Yes, when Syria and Egypt decided to attack and failed in their conquest. By the way, this is all up on our webpage, shofarministries.net, for your review. But tonight we thought it would be good to tell you about a ritual the ultra-Orthodox Jews started back in the first century to compensate for not having a temple to do the sacrifices, since they knew what the Torah says about how the blood cleanses them of sins.
Yeah, the tradition was called kaparot.
Yes, it involves swinging a chicken over one's head on the eve of Yom Kippur while reciting this prayer.
This is my exchange. This is my substitute. This is my atonement. The chicken will go to its death while I enter and proceed to a good long life and to peace.
After reciting the prayer, the chicken is slaughtered and can then be eaten or given to the poor as an act of charity. This tradition seems strange to Christians, except kaparot solves a problem that arose when the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed by the Romans in 70 AD. Of how could one obtain forgiveness without a sacrifice? In the small city of Yavne, located southwest of Jerusalem, a council of rabbis met in AD 91 to address the issue. It was decided that besides the three mitzvot, or commandments, of prayer, fasting, and giving of alms, to obtain forgiveness, these primarily Persian rabbis felt that to ensure forgiveness,
innocent blood had to be shed.
That's right. So, since it was not their fault, there was no longer a temple, perhaps God would look favorably upon the blood of a chicken and grant forgiveness.
It's too bad that the Orthodox still don't read the writings of Paul.
I know, right? Paul has a solution to the problem of forgiveness. What is it they recite in that prayer as?
This is my exchange. This is my substitute. This is my atonement.
2 Corinthians 5:21 teaches us that he made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. God exchanged Yeshua for our sin, and Hebrews 9 also emphasizes this. But the Messiah has appeared, high priest of the good things that have come, in the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. He entered the most holy place once for all, not by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a young cow, sprinkling those who are defiled, sanctify for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, cleanse our consciousness from dead works to serve the living God? Do you know a Jewish person? Tell him Yeshua's blood is effectual for forgiveness, while the blood of goats and bulls and yes, even chickens is not. Actually, this is good news to anyone seeking forgiveness. It's better than good works. Forgiveness is provided to those willing enough to accept it. Yeshua is my exchange, my substitute, my atonement. And to the Christian, every day is our spiritual Yom Kippur. Amen. I want to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, that perfect shalom. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her will prosper. See you next week or in the air. God bless.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.